And I just wanted to kind of remind you that God is here. And that's why we are here, right? To worship together, to be together. And I get to sit up here and watch all of you guys, see you guys smile, and just to see the love, and it makes me feel so happy. Look in your bulletins today. There's so much happening. October is a busy month, and so we have that walking club, and you're all welcome to be a part of that. You can ask me if you don't know where we're going, but we're meeting tomorrow morning, Lord willing, and the weather is good. Don't forget about the board meeting that's coming up tomorrow as well, and the prayer services, the prayer breakfast. There's a lot of times when we get together to just call on the Lord and to also have fellowship. And the women's Bible study that is ongoing now, and on Wednesday, choir practice, and the Zoom Bible studies. You know, if you want to be a part of Zoom, I talked to someone recently that said they had a problem getting on Zoom. If you have a problem and you want to be a part of the Zoom Bible study, meet with me again, and we will see what we can do to try to help you to be a part of that. You know, just go ahead and keep looking at that. There's a lot of good things that are going on this this month that you'll want to be a part of. So the other thing is, Bob gave to me this morning, this is kind of an official letter from the village of West Jefferson. And it says, this fall, the mayor of Madison County, or the mayors of Madison County, have organized a food drive to assist our local food pantries. And it's called the Be the Change Challenge. And that B is B-E-E. So I guess you're going out and gathering stuff and helping to fill up a pantry like those busy bees. Each community is collecting non-perishable food items from October 1st through the 16th. So it began a day ago, and it goes till the 16th. And the mayors have turned this into a community challenge to see which community, West Jefferson, London, Plain City, or Mount Sterling, can be the most generous to their local food pantry. So I don't know how many of you guys are from Plain City. We got a few. Yep, there we go. We got some rivals here. How about anybody here from West Jefferson? Raise your hand. Whoa, boy. And how about Madison, or yeah, let's see, London. There's a few London, okay. Mount Sterling, I think, did we? Yes, I thought we did, good. So, wow, we've got some rivals right here to see who can collect the most. But you just have till the 16th, so I'm assuming Bob or others, there will be information of how to do that, if there's going to be a collection bin or where it is, but be aware. Pardon? They'll bring a box here. So, oh, we're all going to join together. So, anyway, this is great. So there we have that one. You know, this week we all went through Ian with the nation as we watched Dawn and saw and experience, you know, and can see what they're going through. And a lot of people, and not a lot, but there have been some whose faith has been shaken. You know, they look at this and they say, where is God? And over the past few weeks, I've been looking at nature, and just one of the things that about 2 weeks ago, I learned about this bamboo, and it's called Chinese bamboo. Chinese bamboo, if you want to plant it, it takes about 5 years before you see anything happen. But you have to be vigilant. You've got to water it. You've got to fertilize it. You've got to take care of the place where you've planted this bamboo. You're not going to see it for 5 years. But after that fifth year, apparently it grows so fast that people say literally you can sit on the lawn and watch it. It grows about a foot a day and sometimes more. So within, and apparently it can grow to be 90 feet tall. And you can't get that Chinese, do you have Chinese bamboo? Okay, well, the reason you can't get rid of it, maybe you know this, is because for 5 years that bamboo has been working its roots down into the ground. So it has been growing. You just don't see it. By faith, the farmer or the person plants it, and those roots have been growing deep and firm and fast. we're all going to be going through storms of life, whether it's like this one in, you know, Ian, and we want to pray for them and ask the Lord, how can we be a part of that healing? But we're going to go through the storms of life, and we need to have a firm foundation, dig in deep. Sometimes you don't see the fruit of that faith. Sometimes you don't get to see it, but in time, it will be that it's strong, and it will hold you through the storms of life. So keep on growing, keep on trusting the Lord, and he is always there, always going to come shining through. So God bless you guys.
The name of the Lord today, aren't we? Amen. Isn't it good to be in God's house? Would you stand with me as we sing? Standing on the Promises. Someday we'll lay our crowns at the feet of our Savior. Yes. Isn't that a thought? I don't want to go home to the Lord right now. I'm not opposed to that, but I would like to stay a little longer. But someday we're going to stand before our King and our Maker. We fall down.
Greatness of His
this morning and guide us as we worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Well, Russ and Kath are in Bar Harbor, is what she wrote. Sent me a picture of it, Bar Harbor. I guess that's where they're at this morning on their, I think they're on a cruise trip they're taking. So they'll be gone until, I think, Saturday or so, or Sunday, whatever it is. So continue to pray for those people in Florida. You look at the devastation. Some places are just totally wiped out. There's nothing there. And they're going to start over again. And the government has pledged to help them out. So we'll see how that works. But a lot of volunteers heading there. I know AEP and some of those people are sending crews to help get things restored. So pray for that. Pray for safety. This is a big time when looting takes place, which is a sad thing. But they know you're not in your house. They steal things. And so that even adds to the loss there. So we have any praises this morning or prayer requests that people would like to share? Praise or prayer? Sandy.
I would just like to praise the Lord that my aunt and my cousin who live in Florida survived that hurricane because they didn't evacuate and they really should have. And my cousin, which is his mom there, said that it was the worst thing he ever went through in his life and he really thought he was going to die. He said it was just relentless, the wind and the rain, and just really scary. But my aunt, bless her heart, she's 91, his mom, she sat in a closet with a helmet on her head, and when he finally got to her home, a mile away, he had to walk in waist-deep water to get to her home. They wanted to take her back to Ohio, and she said, well, I'm not going back there. She said, I'm doing fine. She said, we're having a cookout today this afternoon with our neighbors. So she didn't seem to bother her as much as her son. But anyway, I thank the Lord that they're okay.
Good. Anybody been in a hurricane? You been in a hurricane?
Yeah.
We were in Australia, and there was a storm that was so bad that the rain was actually going sideways, which I'd never seen before, but I don't know what, some kind of tropical storm we were at, but yeah, I've been in a tornado, but never a hurricane, so. Caleb's there. Yeah, Caleb's there, and he's safe, and everything's going well with him, so that's good. Good. That's good.
I thank you all for praying for my niece, Sandra. She and her family stayed in their condo and survived the storm. And I just thank God for that. They're all okay. And tomorrow is my appointment with my surgeon. So he will let me know what's going on with my shoulder. And we'll just go from there. But thank you all for your cards, your prayers, for your love and support. Thank you.
Our brother-in-law, Bob's oldest sister's husband, is 87, and he's been diagnosed with liver, pancreas, and spine cancer. So we need, his name's Ed, we appreciate prayer for them. And the praise is, we've got news that we were going to have two of our grandchildren have babies in the spring. So we're going to be great grandparents. We've been good all along, but now we're going up to great.
Good exercise.
First, I have a praise. I don't know, many of you might know that I started work at McDonald's about 2 weeks ago. And Saturday, I did the whole setup by myself. Like all of the pies, cookies, hash brown, all of that. I did it all by myself, and I was very proud of myself. But I also am requesting prayer for my family right now. We are going through a difficult time. And, of course, Jocelyn with her toe. I am asking prayer for that, too. Thank you.
I had asked for prayer for my father when he had a bad cold, and he went in and had the x-ray of his lung, and they had determined that there was a mass there. And then he developed shingles, so they weren't able to do the biopsy. But he went in this week, so finally the shingles had healed. And so he went in, and my brother was there, and he came back, and they told my brother, Tom, they said, we x-rayed it before we did the biopsy, and there's nothing left. There's nothing there. So I had begun to pray that way. I said, Lord, you know, they need my dad because my mother-in-law has Parkinson's and she's not doing well. And I said, they're just depending on one another and they just need his strength. And I had been asking the Lord, I said, I know that you're able to heal. If it's possible, could you just make this, whatever this mass is, disappear? And so it was like, okay, God, you did answer prayer. So I just praise the Lord for that.
I just want to thank everybody for praying for my cousin Joy. She's Joy Heaton. She's been on the prayer list for a really long time, or most of the year this year, a good part of it. But she is in her late 40s, was diagnosed with second stage pancreatic cancer, went through some chemo, had a surgery about 6 weeks ago, and when she went for her post-op checkup, they told her that there's absolutely no sign of cancer now. So thank you all for your prayers. God is so good, and you know, he gets the glory in all things, and she's not saved, so please continue to pray for her. She is just sort of resisting, and I know the Lord's working on her heart. So I do appreciate your prayers, and just for her continued remission, because it's still going to be a long journey for her. She needs to gain some weight. She's a little bit frail from going through everything. So if you can just keep her in your prayers, she's a sweet girl, and I believe that she will be saved soon. And then please, if you could, keep me in your prayers as well. I had a finding on my most recent mammogram, so I go on Tuesday for a follow-up visit. I know that the Lord's got this, and you know, we're all here each day and live and breathe because of the goodness and mercy and infinite love of God. So we are here to live and glorify our Lord, and that he may be glorified through our life. And like Chris said, we all have storms that we need to go through, but the Lord, if we hand over the fear, he will take it, and we will pass through each step of the journey with just whatever he has planned. So I know that, you know, he's already got this all worked out, and we'll just see what happens on Tuesday, and I believe him for a good report, and I appreciate your prayers. Thank you.
Sorry, sometimes it takes me a while to decide I can give a testimony here, but it's for my friend Judy Eric. We've all been praying for her for a long time. She's been through cancer, and when we sing about I am a child of the Lord, I'm a child of God, she has been her whole life, so we all take comfort in that, but she's continuing on a ventilator. It's about the fourth day. At the James, and so I just ask that you pray for her peace and the comfort of her family and all of us who've loved her so many, many years. Thank you.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for bringing us here this morning. Lord, you've heard all these many requests and praises for healing. Those who have fears of sickness or disease or cancer or relationships or whatever it may be that they're going through, those who are going to be facing surgeries that are coming up. And we just ask you for your hand to be within those situations, be with those in Florida that have gone through devastation. Lord, help their faith not to be shaken, but to be strengthened, knowing that you're there providing help and peace and comfort. Lord, be with us here this morning as we seek to glorify you. We seek to know your will, to hear your word, to have our lives be changed by you. Thank you for the praises that were offered, for the things that you've done for grandchildren and for healings and things that are happening. But Lord, give us a peace and a calmness as we go through life, knowing that nothing that comes our way is too big for you to handle. So whatever it may be, the result of a test or a surgery coming up or a broken relationship or a family issue, whatever it may be, we know that you're there in those situations, and Lord, that you are still God. And you're the great physician, you're the healer, you're the comforter, you know all things, and you have all power. So we ask, Lord, this morning for your Holy Spirit to go out through this place, to touch each one here that needs a touch from you this morning, Lord, in whatever situation that could be. Help us to grow stronger, help us be witnesses for you, knowing that the power of the Lord is alive and well today, and that it's here to comfort us and heal us. And Lord, our ultimate healing is in heaven with you. And we know that someday we'll be there rejoicing for eternity. But be with those who don't know you this morning, that they may know you in a personal way. And thank you for what you've done and what you're going to continue to do in your name. Amen.
I want to thank the Lord this morning for all of his promises that we can turn to in his word and find help and strength in our hour of need. And we just have so much that we can praise him for, to be here this morning to worship him. And but you know, sometimes the world gets tough, it gets hard. We go through sicknesses, death, and hurricanes, tornadoes, whatever comes. The Lord said that this world isn't our home. Aren't you thankful we have a better place to go to? But I'm thankful today for all of his promises.
Give you silver or gold, or that you would never feel the fire or shiver in the cold. But I did say you'd never walk through this world alone. Then I did say, don't make this world your home. I never said that fear wouldn't find you in the night, or that loneliness was something you'd never have to fight. But I did say I'd be right there by your side. And I did say I'll always help you find.
You know I made a promise that I intend to keep. My grace will be sufficient in every time of need. My love will be the anchor that you can hold on to. This is the promise. This is the promise
I've made to you. Said that friends would never turn their backs on you, or that the world around you wouldn't see you as a fool. But I did say, like me,
you'll surely be despised.
And and I did say, my ways confound the wise. I didn't say you'd never taste the bitter kiss of death,
or have to walk through chilly Jordan to enter into rest.
But I did say I'd be waiting
right on the other side.
Yeah, aren't you thankful for that? And I did say,
I'll dry every tear you cry. You know I've made a promise that I'm prepared to place. And someday sooner than you think, you'll see me face to face. And you'll sing with the angels and a countless multitude. This is the promise. This is the promise I've made to you.
But you know what? You can't give up. You gotta keep looking up. Because he's coming. Coming to take us away. That's the most precious promise that I look forward to today. Coming back again.
So just keep on walking, don't turn to the left or right. And in the midst of darkness, let this be your light. That hell can't separate us, you're gonna make it through. This is the promise, this is the promise
I've made to you. So very thankful, Lord, for your promises. Thankful that you said you're never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. You'll be with us all the way.
We're not doing American Idol, but this is up here for a reason. I looked this up this week to find out about American Idol, just because we're talking about idols this morning. It started in June 11th, 2002, and went until 2016 for 15 seasons. Then it took a break for 2 years and began again in 2018, but it became one of the most successful shows in the history of American television. Can you believe that? American Idol, one of the most successful shows. Where the judges critique contestants, and then people vote with their phones. They text in or call in or whatever they do to find the winner. It's been described as an unparalleled in broadcasting history. The most impactful show in the history of television. Because people want idols, don't they? They want to be an idol. They want to be worshipped. They want people to put them on a pedestal and say, oh, you're the best. You're wonderful. You're amazing. I looked up a idol. What's an example of an idol? It's a false god or an object that's adored or worshipped. It could be a statue people pray to. It could be something that has no substance, like when you see an image in a mirror. It could be one that's adored and often blindly or excessively. So you're just adoring this person or this thing blindly or excessively. But the last part fits perfectly with American Idol, because people seem to try to find somebody to honor, don't they? Not just honor, but to worship. Say, you know, they're the best, they're the most, they're amazing, I'd like to be like them. But, you know, idols, as far as people are concerned, are human beings, aren't they? You don't stay an idol all the time. People have failings, they have flaws. But we're not talking about American Idol this morning. We're talking about those things in America that we idolize. Could be a false god or an object. Could be a rock people pray to. This is a rock in Myanmar that people go and pray to, this golden rock. So imagine that. You go to this rock and you pray to this rock as if this rock is going to do something for you. It's just a rock. But yet people believe that it has some kind of power. But there's no substance there. When you walk away, the rock is still there. The power doesn't go with you. Nothing happens but the rock. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 7. This is familiar to some. It says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." How many people miss that verse today? GD, they always say, right? Jesus Christ, but not in a worshiping way. He says he doesn't want us to misuse his name. There's a lot of idols in America that we're looking at this morning. I'm going to tell you a few of them that I've found that my wife and I discussed a couple of these things. Because I asked her, you know, what are some idols that people worship today? One of them is a dream catcher. Seems innocent, doesn't it? Just some wood, some rope, some feathers. I looked it up. It said dream catcher is supposed to protect sleepers, especially children, from bad dreams, nightmares, and evil spirits. Native Americans believe that at night, the air was filled with dreams, both good and bad, and they would hang dream catchers above their beds. It seems innocent, doesn't it? It's a false god. It's an idol. You're expecting this thing to protect you from bad dreams, from things like that, from nightmares, from evil spirits. But it's just an object. It's a bunch of string and feathers and wood. It's not really going to protect you, is it? It's basically having an idol in your house. If you have those things hanging in your house, it's an idol. Whether you call it an idol or not, that's what it is. Here's one that's a big one for Americans, and it may shock you. Knock on wood. You heard that one? You look that up and see what it actually means. It was thought to come from the folklore of ancient Indo-Europeans, possibly who predated them, who believed that trees were a home to various spirits. Touching a tree would invoke the protection or the blessing of the spirit within. So when you say knock on wood or knock on a table or something, you're actually asking the spirit of that wood to bless and protect you. Didn't know that, did you? You're saying, bless me, wood. Protect me, wood. That can be an idol, can't it? Maybe you didn't know it, but now you know it today, don't you? When you're knocking on wood, like, help me, God. Because this wood's not going to do a thing for me. You ever brought something back from another country? Or had somebody give you something from another country? Maybe you didn't know the origin of that and what it meant. Maybe it was used for evil purposes. Could be a statue, a carving, could be dolls, paintings, anything. You thought it was just a thing from another country, that something that they did. You want to tell the story? Because I might not get it right. We talked about this story, so we had some friends from Haiti, missionaries, and they collected some items. When you're missionaries, you go around and show people stuff that's from that country and all these kinds of things. And they'd collect some dolls. I don't know if they were these dolls, but there are some dolls that they had had, and they would go to churches and visit and things, and then they found at times they'd be angry with each other for no apparent reason. They had this animosity, and they're like, what is going on? Why are we so upset with each other? And they couldn't figure it out, so they prayed and said, God, you know, help us find out what the source of this problem is. What's going on with our family? Why are we so upset about things that don't really mean anything? We haven't been that way before. And then they thought about it. They said, well, you know, we brought back these dolls. And in Haiti, they use these dolls to invoke spells on people and do things to people like that. And sometimes objects can be inhabited by evil spirits. And these dolls were used for worship or casting spells. And they found that they were affecting them. They were being oppressed. Not possessed, but oppressed. That's a different thing. It means something's kind of pressing on you, trying to influence you in ways. Because I don't think Christians can be possessed, but they can be oppressed, where Satan's trying to work on your mind and things like that he does. So what they did was they took these, and they could be records or books or anything like that, they took these dolls out and they burned them, and they buried the ashes, and that anger and oppression went away. because that object had been cursed probably by somebody in Haiti, and then it was sold and they didn't know it, but it was affecting them. It's like if you're a Superman and you have kryptonite in your house. It keeps affecting you, infecting until you get rid of it. You have to get it out of there so it doesn't affect you. So they got rid of it, and those evil thoughts and things like that they had, the oppression and things went away. Here's another one you may not have thought about. The Ouija board. Anybody ever have one of these as a kid? They were a big popular seller. I'm going to tell you a little history about the Ouija board. Because when we were kids, I told you before, we tried one of these things, thinking it was a joke. My cousin and I were in our house, you know, asking questions and whatever, and I said, yeah, this thing's pretty stupid. It's not even real. So we said, if you're real, have somebody squeal their tires. You know what happened next? A car squealed its tires in front of our house, and we were out in the country. We were out in the middle of nothing. And from that point on, we got rid of the thing, said, this thing is evil. Let's get rid of it. We didn't touch it after that. But in the late 1960s, the sales of the Ouija board rivaled the America's best-selling board game like Monopoly. In small towns and large towns from Los Angeles to New York, the famous wooden plank and planchet seemingly was everywhere, delivering subversive entertainment for teenagers and grad students, housewives, and poets. The Ouija was no ordinary toy. Although manufactured and produced, mass-produced by the very Parker Brothers Corporation, it was steeped in spiritual traditions dating back at least a century and associated with esoteric religions, paranormal exploration, art, and literature. They sold more than 10 million games so far. So that Ouija board has been in more than 10 million homes. Just like we talked about those dolls from Haiti, I think it's an evil thing. They used to call it the talking board. And then they give a description about what has to happen when you do it. That you go into a dark room, you have candlelight or something like that, and then you clear your mind. And then you ask the board questions. So here's what gets me. They want you to clear your mind. Does anything in the Bible tell you to clear your mind ever? Does it ever say clear your mind? It says set your mind on the things above. Set your mind on the Lord, set your mind on His words, not clear your mind of all your thoughts. I think when you're clearing your mind, you're opening yourself up for something else to take that place. Whether it's an evil thought or whatever it may be. Ouija boards are a direct link to evil spirits, and I think you should discard them as soon as you can. If you have a Ouija board, get rid of the thing. Burn the thing. Some people put their faith in other false gods, called tarot cards. This started out as a game that people were going to play, but today tarot card reading is a form of cartomancy whereby practitioners use cards to purportedly gain insight into the past, present, or the future. They formulate a question and then draw cards to interpret them to find an end. So tell me how a deck of cards is going to tell you information about the past, present, or future, unless there's an evil spirit or satanic influence doing some of those things, right? Your card can't do a thing, it's a card. It can't tell you anything. But it can be influenced, I believe, by Satan to show things that he wants you to see that may or may not be true. Sometimes he appears as an angel of light, right? But he's not. You know he's evil. Maybe this seems like an innocent thing. Oh, I just do tarot cards for fun. But it's having an influence in your life, influence in your spiritual life as well. And maybe there's some oppression there. So if you have tarot cards, you know it's not from God. You need to throw them away. You're like, man, I'm throwing all this stuff away. Yeah, throw it away if it's not good. If you have old food in your refrigerator, you get rid of it. Don't you? You don't just keep it there and say, oh, I'm just going to keep in this. You get rid of it. If it's bad, you get rid of it. If you find out that it's bad, you throw it away. Acts 16, verse 16 and 18 says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination, which means she was going to tell the future, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. So that talks about fortune telling as well. So if somebody's trying to tell your fortune with a crystal ball or whatever, read your palm or whatever it may be, then that's not something from the Lord. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. So she was possessed by an evil spirit. Her owners got mad because she couldn't do fortune telling anymore. Right? Remember that part? So there was an evil spirit in her. Fortune telling, divination, those kind of things. Tarot cards are fortune telling and are a form of divination. Here's one that's fairly new, at least that we've heard of. Crystals. People have crystals. These crystals do different things, supposedly. It says, "For centuries, crystals have been used in homes to ward off negative feelings, encourage prosperity, improve sleep, and create harmony. Even the most common crystals on the market work on a vibration level and have the ability to heal, protect, and transmute energy." So you're looking at these crystals, which are basically rocks. It says it'll do something with communication, romance, stability, luck, clarity, safety, happiness, healing, relaxation, self-expression, confidence, and creativity. So if I'm interested in finding a wife, I'm going to carry that rose quartz around with me because that's going to draw them right to me probably. Ridiculous, isn't it? You're carrying a rock. It's a piece of stone. It's been formed by the earth. It doesn't have any power whatsoever. Well, people believe that it does. That can become an idol when you start saying, this rock is going to keep me protected. This rock is going to give me stability. This rock is going to bring me luck. That's an idol. Not a statue, but it's a rock. It's the same idea as that. You ever heard of one called the evil eye? This thing? Ever seen that before? It's called the evil eye. It's been used throughout the centuries to ward off curses or malicious intent. Many believe the evil eye could protect against three different kinds: unintentional, intentional, and unseen. These curses manifest in things such as jealousy, someone wishing you bad luck or negative energy surrounding you, and there's different colors. The blue evil eye can be separated into two types, the dark blue evil eye and the light blue or turquoise one. The dark blue eye offers protection from karma and fate, whereas the turquoise variant provides health and overall safety. So if I wear this thing, I'm going to be safe. I'm going to ward off bad luck and evil spirits and everything else. Curses, malicious intent, but if I wear the turquoise one, I'm going to have health and safety. Some of these things just amaze me, thinking that if you could wear this little stone thing that somebody made, I'm going to have health and safety if I wear it. I'm protected. It becomes an idol because people actually believe that it's true. They believe that it works. No matter how much you believe, that piece of stone or glass or whatever it is not going to do a thing for you. It can't do what God can do. But they're replacing that instead of God. So instead of praying to the Lord, they're saying, "Oh, this thing will protect me. I'll wear this thing." There's other faiths that have different medals that they wear. I think they protect them. St. Christopher protect us. Those kind of things that people wear and all those different medals and things that they wear that don't protect them. Only God can protect us, right? Especially from evil spirits, from the devil, from those kind of things. And we know that he's watching over us all the time. But when you start worshiping these kind of things, then you're separating yourself from the Lord. You're saying, "I believe in this instead of you." Oh, I have two more, and this one's a big one. Pornography. That's everywhere. Magazines, computers, phones, all over the place, books. Pastor Jack Hayford talks a bit about it in his book called Fatal Attractions, and he says, "The desire for a thing becomes the overwhelming drive in a person's soul. He or she can never get enough. A person comes ensnared in the bondage of lust and turns the object of that lust compulsion into an idol." So whatever images they're looking at, that becomes their idol. Right? They can't get enough. You can look at it 100 times a day, it's still not enough. Then that becomes your idol. When talking about sexual desire and actions, we fail to realize or remember at times that they can be intoxicating and equally addictive and an idol for many people. Many men deal with addictions of pornography, so destructive in their relationships, in their minds, in their bodies, in their relationship with God, that they're controlled by it and feel like they can't get out. And it's a very big issue in our country. They said that in a survey, only 3% of boys and 17% of girls have never seen internet pornography. Only 3%. 3 out of 100 haven't seen it. All the other 97 have. For boys. And for girls, 83%. Or 83 out of 100 have. Pretty widespread, isn't it? There was a guy who had a Bible study, and he said 8 out of 10 people in his study said they were struggling with pornography. In the United States, roughly 2/3 of young men, which is about, and 1/2 of young women are viewing pornography and think it's acceptable. It's okay. Not a big deal. It's not going to hurt me. It's fine. Said porn sites get more visits each month than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. It's also a problem for the church as well, isn't it? We have people that struggle with sex addictions, pornography, but God calls us to be holy. 1 Corinthians 6, he says, sexual sin defiles our bodies, which are temples of the Holy Spirit. Thessalonians 4:3. This is the will of God, your sanctification, which means being set apart, that you abstain from sexual immorality. So it's a big issue, isn't it? It's not like it doesn't exist. It's out there, but nobody talks about it. And the last one, everybody knows this one, money. Money can become an idol, can't it? When that's all you think about, that's all your desires. You don't care about people, you don't care about things, you just care about how much you can get, how much you can make. Money in itself is not bad. When it becomes an idol for you, that's all you think about, that's all you want, that's what you focus on, that's your aim in life, is just to get money. Then it becomes wrong. Dr. Timothy Warner says that Satan and his demons can try to attack us in a number of ways. First of all, he tries to undermine or tempt us by saying God's word is not true. It started with Adam and Eve, didn't it? He said, did God really say? Sometimes we're thinking of doing something we shouldn't do, and we think, well, is that really bad? Did God really mean what he said? Or is that just kind of a guideline? He can intensify temptations and appetites. He can work on our minds and thoughts through old memories, through false guilt. But we know that God wants us to love and worship him alone. And he wants us to know if there's any false idols in our houses or in our minds. What do we do if we discover that we have those things? We've been involved in that or something like that's affecting us. First of all, you go to the Lord and confess and get rid of all known sin. Said, this is what I'm doing. This is what I've been doing. I just found out I didn't know. Or I've been trying to get done with this and I can't. And now I want to get rid of it. If it's an object, you get rid of it. You destroy it. You burn it. Throw it away. Get it as far away from you as you can. If it's a habit or action, you stop doing it and you ask for help. Have others pray for you. Have somebody be accountable. Say, I'm having a problem with this. Can you check on me? And then you pray and ask God to deliver you. Because he says, have no other gods before him. Money in particular, he says, you can't serve God and money at the same time. You can't serve God and an idol at the same time. You can't be looking at porn and say, I'm going to serve God 100%. So the question today is there an idol or false god in your life? Or something you need to get rid of? Are you doing something the Lord wants you to be released of? Or you have something you need to destroy? So the thing is, you need to take action. You need to do something. Not just say, yeah, I understand, but take action. We're going to have a second where Pam's going to play. And if you want to come for prayer this morning, you can come and pray. And Ernie used to say, don't leave this place without knowing you're right with the Lord. That's what we're saying this morning. If you want to raise your hand for prayer, that's fine. If you want to come for prayer, you can do that as well. We'll just take a second. And as Pam plays, if you want to have prayer, then you can come. Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. We ask for your guidance and your direction, Lord, in our lives. Lord, those who have discovered that they may have idols in their life, may they get rid of those today. Father, help us with our problems, with our issues, knowing that you're the creator of all things. You made us. You know how we're supposed to operate. You know how you want us to live and to love. And we thank you for loving us, even when we seem unlovable. Thank you for healing us, for touching us, for convicting us, and for setting us free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand with me this morning? No matter what you're going through, God is there.
Through.
Safe to the activities of the week. Thank you.